Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves you.
Trying to make this child and do that child compare this child because it's not
have a relationship to Satan in Genesis, it talks about how we should go about doing our jobs and not doing our jobs that's unto men, but unto God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
So when you're in the workplace, and you're not working for men,
that's right.
And you know that you're working for God.
That's right.
But when you're in the money for men,
rise above the noise,
yeah.
I mean, above the politics,
yeah.
Above that, making that job your G.O.D.
Uh-oh, come on.
And so that if God wants you to have it, it's a human.
Yeah.
If not, he doesn't know otherwise.
Amen. Yeah, it's just the capital G.O.D. work.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
But sometimes the noise and the women are trying to come in and throw a bunch of crazy stuff. And I know I've been through a lot of the slave owners who were trying to use the verse and take it out of context to the point where they try to keep the slaves in line, you know? But the Holy Spirit is a way of working on the individual to let them know that they can apply to any particular area, but it applies to a slave or a God. And when you know God, then you can survive in any situation or circumstance.
That's right.
So if you look at verse 5, it says, certainly be obedient to you and all your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling and fearless of your heart as unto Christ. So it doesn't mean to have a slave master mentality, but it means to behave godly in the midst of whatever situation it is.
Mm-hmm.
That you behave godly unto God. You should stand somewhere and be able to abuse and take an advantage of that. Your attitude is that whatever life I'm in, I'm going to do it as unto God.
That's right. Amen. And when you that way, when you receive your blessings and approval from the Lord, and you have to pay them on receiving your blessings and approval from man.
Exactly.
Because man can lead you astray.
And man will let you know. And so when we go to verse 6, he clarifies and he says, not what I service as me pleases, but as the service of Christ, doing what the will of God from the
heart.
So in other words, you're not being forced to do anything, but you're simply saying, listen, God, I'm going to do the will of God. I'm going to do the will that is the will of God.
That's right.
And that's God wants us to believe in our God.
That's right.
So that we can get the glory
to be content.
To be content. Keep you in the midst of this type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so when people that you work see, wow, this person is trusting God, and God is sustaining them through good, bad, and ugly. I want to know something about my God.
Mm-hmm.
And what must I need to be saying to know this God?
That's right.
And so the enemy wants to keep us to the point where we're saying the pity party.
Right.
If the enemy can keep you in the pity party, and all of us in the enemy, we're telling each other, and then the pity party, I'm like, God, I've been good. Why is this happening to me? You're so bad.
Right.
I need you to wipe the tears away. Because you're saying it,
right? That's right. That's right. And that's exactly what he does, right? And they don't want you to go through that. So when you do have your pity party, it's not like he'll turn his back on you.
Right.
So I don't know if I would say to you, because you're supposed to have faith. He allows you to go through that pity party, and then he basically says, okay,
you're finished.
You ready for what God do? Okay. No, no, no. That is bad. It's like, no, I'll tell you all the way I can't talk about it.
All the way.
And that's the good thing about the Lord, because he does recognize our need. So he allows our humanness to go through. But if you're spiritually connected to him, once you go through it, then he says, okay, then you can hear me.
Yeah.
And then when you speak to him, and that's when he gives you the peace. But he does allow us to process everything.
And because we're not, nobody's going to stand here and pretend like we're this great people having human feelings. That's a joke.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
But he does give you the ability, and we were praying in our prayer service before our Bible study, one of our members was praying that we would have discernment. That we'll be able to discern when God is telling us that there's certain things that we're going to have to go through so that somebody else can receive a blessing.
Right.
And that it's okay.
Right.
And again, the enemy doesn't want you to feel, he wants you to feel like you picked on and that you the only one that's suffering. But when you look around and say, okay, now I know why I had to go through this.
Right.
Now I know why this was a challenge.
Right.
And many times the Apostle Paul had desired to do things to go places, but God prevented him so that he could accomplish the work that he needed. And so a lot of times God will allow us to go. God will allow us to get from underneath for that pressure, amen, because somebody still needs to see Jesus. Somebody still needs to see the ambassador walking through the midst of the storm.
Yeah.
along with your husband, and you gotta have the right relationship on your job, and all of these things for you have the right relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And so all that about what Paul is teaching us in the book of Ephesians is that you gotta have the right relationship with God. If you don't have a family in the middle of time, you have a right relationship with your husband and wife. You have a family to serve him together.
That's right.
Before you can get involved with the man on the one hand, otherwise, that's not going to work.
Up. You think that once you retire and you don't have to work anymore, you might be okay. And so the best thing is to realize that who the problem solver is, so it doesn't matter whether it's home, work, job, retirement.
Amen.
I still got the problem solver.
Amen.
So it's not so much that I'm looking to escape the problem of life because I can't.
Right.
It's, I'm looking at how to do it best to deal with it.
And I like that because we are the problem solver within every situation and circumstance.
That's right. That's right.
And that's what the enemy that he doesn't want us to understand. He doesn't want us to have that understanding. So God said, well, let me go ahead and expose this devil for who he is. Let me give you something to work with. Let me give you the tools that are necessary for you to be successful. That sounds like a corporate America term.
Yes.
A corporate America name, I forgot.
Right.
The tools necessary for them to be successful. And God said, I'm not just going to give you any cheapo tools.
Right.
But I'm giving you the best tools that they are.
That's right.
And when we start putting out our counterfeit tools, that's when we're in trouble. You know, I'm going to go cheap on this. I'm going to do this too. But God, in Ephesians 6:10,
I like the finally.
He said, finally, now you understand that you got to have a proper relationship in this world with God, with your husband, wife, your children, and your job. He said, finally, now let me tell you how to handle this and make it a blessing.
Amen? Yeah.
We don't even know how to handle it and make it a blessing. We need to get to a point where we said, all right, I've seen this trick before. All you football fans, you know your football fans do what we do tapes.
Amen?
And you know what the opposing player is going to do. And so what you have to do is you have to put a strategy in place to defeat what they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so we as Christian believers, we have to put God's strategy, God's plan in practice in order to overcome the spiritual attack of the enemy. And he says in Ephesians 2, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in me, because it's like, you know that person.
You know what's going to happen.
And they know
it and put it back in line. That's why my mind is better to just shut up.
Yes.
Just don't say anything.
And thinking about that day, another guy was praying in service, and he said, the power of the tongue. They can't hear my tongue, you joker.
That's right. That's right.
You say some things.
That's my best try not to use it.
Especially when you say something to your husband or your wife.
Because that is ugly.
And it's ugly. And you know it's going to set them off. But the flesh, you feel that thing in the flesh. Yeah, I know what I'm talking about. You feel that thing in the flesh.
But well, that last a second, it feels good. But then after that, I start lying off it. And I was that good for a second. So I was in the room for like 3 days.
Yeah, for that one second, though, real good. Yeah, no good, sorry, sorry. That's why we got comments out. Oh, my goodness. Especially when it was too.
The women bring up history, ancient history.
Yeah, so they
did it. So we all did it.
25 years ago. And the enemy is sitting over there cruising on that. Oh, man, we're going to go back down there and let him know.
Still not going to be involved.
We're
still
not going to be
involved. Same answer. So that one was really stupid because we know about the same
result. Oh, my goodness. But this is really, let's understand. Why do you want to pass Ephesians 6:10?
When it says,
be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Why do you go past that?
I believe the reason we both notice it, because it's so easy to fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Yeah.
And the flesh is a beast.
Yeah.
It will cause you to react negatively all the time, especially to a situation where you feel you're being threatened.
Mm-hmm.
Whether physically or just emotionally or mentally.
Yeah.
And the only reaction is to strike back.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we both notice it. And we can be saved, but we result to the flesh.
I think sometimes we just stuck in, I can do it myself. And say, okay, the last minute, then I'll talk to God about it. And we should have did that in the first place.
Yeah.
You know.
But why is it? It's just like, we go down and get caught. You're like, uh-oh. Then we backtrack.
There you go. Some of that. You know, just think that we can handle everything. Knowing that we can't handle nothing. I think when we go like through our day to day, things seem so small. It was just everyday decisions. And then when things get big or blown out of proportion, that's when we call on God that God can handle all things, big or small. And I think that we forget that. I think that we just, there's still a decision, whether it's big or small, and we have to always go to him and seek him.
I think it's basically just kind of repetition, because I know for myself, I've been saved a long time. The only thing of the thing is just trying to be repetitive in what you do, but I think sometimes, as gentlemen said, we get so caught up in the flesh and the way of the world, we try to do it ourselves, so I don't even think we're thinking and say, okay, well, I can call upon the Lord, I'm just doing myself. I think we just so just, I'm just doing myself. You don't even give it a second thought until something crazy happens, and you're like, oh, man. And I think the other thing, too, is that when we see other people, a lot of people out here, people who are doing well or who we think are doing well, listen, well, they did it by themselves or whatever like that, and you start thinking, well, if they can do it, I can do it, but guess what? They may not have dreams, or what you see in the front of them, they might not be doing it in your life. You know, a lot of times you see other people in life, oh, I can do it, they're doing it. You say, just to close up, that's all I got to do. But no one in that person that you're doing, you say, anything in that scripture, you know, having ups and downs. So I think a lot of times it's part of the repetition, but also part of what we see in the world and what we believe to be reality.
This is what we have to learn.
Yeah.
That's the
look at me weird as they used to. Yeah, it's the same thing with this word. Yeah. Because if you bring it to your ears, it's choices that we make.
Choices that we make. Amen. And so it's a thing where when we get to this Ephesians 6:10, you have to understand that God wants to give you the best protection that is available. And I think that has to make the point in our mind is that God knows that there's going to be some arrows, fiery darts, following us. And I don't think we wake up in the morning thinking that somebody's got arrows and fiery darts. I got to recalculate my thoughts to understand that there's arrows and darts that the enemy wants to hurl at me and hurl at you and I every day.
Amen.
Are you trying to hear me?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even in a car, most of us get in a car, and because it's the law, we put our seatbelts on. Some people still don't put seatbelts on.
It does.
And the car just keeps going.
Yeah.
Right.
There's always ways around it. Right. And you kind of cut one off and just stick it in there.
Into that sense of comfort. So like you said, you won't put on the whole armor and you get the fiery darts, and then you realize it until you got six of them in there.
No!
And then you're like, oh,
it hurts.
Oh, let me go grab the honey now. Oh, man, it's too late. And that's why it has to be a faith walk. Even though you don't see the fiery darts, you need the honey of God. So you don't get lost into that sense of, oh, okay, everything is good right now. So I'm doing good, so I don't need to put on that breastplate of righteousness.
Yeah.
No, I don't need the shield of faith.
Yeah.
No, but then all of a sudden you feel like you realize that you're shot, and then you come back to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But he'll allow you, the devil will lower you into that sense of comfort.
Yeah.
And then that's when he'll take you off guard.
It's sort of like the seatbelt we talked about earlier.
Right.
You don't need a seatbelt to run into that head on guard.
You're comfortable, but then you're going to hit something. You're going to try to put it on you as you're going through the
room. It's too late. And so when we look at this, it's throwing the whole armor that you might be able to stand against the wall of the door. And then he goes down and breaks it to us with the walls of the door.
Yeah.
In verse 12, he breaks it down.
Yeah.
He breaks it down and says, all right, he said, what are the lies of the devil? What's the trick for the devil?
Oh, come on.
What?
Come on, preacher.
The trick of the devil is to make you think that you're fighting against each other. This is the favorite one that he likes to play with the church.
Right.
Church rules. Bring the body of Christ. Save folk. Cover their blood. Going to worship God. Got the Holy Ghost here. That's the wiles of the devil.
Yeah.
If it convince you to destroy your own self.
That's right.
But he's not alone with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that mother, that sister, that got me so upset. Anybody ever got so upset about somebody and then it took you off your focus?
Oh, yeah.
That you were so upset with that.
Yeah.
And that person really wanted you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
And you still rehash it. You know, you know, you
know. Yeah. Because you're listening to the wrong spirit, you're still reach down and pick you up and put you in the right direction. If you turn to him and say, okay, you know what, Lord, I told him he messed up, and I need you to help me out of this.
Yeah.
words, knowing all his promises, speak the word, and the word will, that we speak in faith, will get the Holy Spirit going,
right.
But will come back the enemy that's trying to take you out.
That's right.
But if we don't use them, it's like we got water now,
mm-hmm.
trying to take down the enemy.
That's right.
And we have to know how to use the authority that God gives us in His word and the power of His Spirit to know how to use your in His Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are at the end of our session.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to get one call on the way to see what they're doing.
Precious name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right.